This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we are going to talk about activities for kids. And these are summer activities because we are currently in the middle of summer. And if you are listening to this in the winter or in the fall, of course, some of these activities may also work for that time of the year. This is podcast 206, and you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And today I want to thank our sponsor, that is Media Angels, and you can find out more information about our wonderful Media Angels membership website. There you will find amazing deals on curriculum, and you can get a ton of stuff for less than $10. So you'll want to head over to Media Angels membership for more information. Well, today I want to talk to you about the kids. And as you know, if you've been a long time listener of Vintage Homeschool Moms, I have five children, mostly grown. My youngest is 16 at this point, but I am blessed with many little grandchildren. And so as my kids say, God provided so I could continue to try to homeschool them and not homeschool the older ones as much anymore. I'm such a homeschool mom, I have to tell you. So when I was thinking about this, I like to divide things into topics so that when you're thinking of different things to do with the kids, you can use this as a springboard to help you come up with ideas. And the reason that we want to have some activities ready to go for the kids to do is for those times when the kids say they're bored or, you know, they don't have anything to do. And I did another podcast, and I will put the link in the show notes on podcast 206 about a podcast that I did when kids say I'm bored. That actually is a taboo topic or sentence to say around here because it translates into mommy, give me work to do. So my kids tend to be, you know, self-starters. They have things laid out that they want to do. And some of the times, like today in particular, before I came on to podcast, we sat down and talked about the things that we need to get done individually and as a family. And so the kids laid out some of the things that they're going to be doing this week and then some of the things that I was going to be doing with them. So all of that to say that as they're older, they can give you some input on activities that they would like to do. And when they're younger, it's great to have some things that you do with them and also some things that they can do independently. As I put these topics under categories, you'll have to look at them and see. Some of them are going to be more mom-dad directed, and others the kids can do independently. So you just need to see what time you have and some of the things that they can do that will take up less time. So I'm going to give you some of these examples. I'm not going to read through the entire list. You can find the handout and the show notes at Summer Activities for Kids, podcast 206 at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So let's start with some of the easy ones. And I have topics such as let me give you the topics first before can you tell I'm excited? Whenever I get really excited, I get ahead of myself and I don't look at my notes and I bullet point these. I don't have them all written out. And then I kind of get off track a little bit. So I wanted to give you an overview. So my topics are baking, nature, arts and crafts, backyard parties and festivals, sports, and just fun activities that didn't really fit in any other category. So under baking, I could actually do baking/cooking here. You know, you're going to teach the kids some basic cooking skills. Now, that can take the form of going to the library and getting some books on, you know, basic cooking and baking skills. My kids always say that I turn everything into a teaching activity. So, you don't necessarily have to turn it into this big project where you're, you know, teaching fractions and that kind of thing. With cooking, that comes naturally. But this is going to, you know, at least set the groundwork for any other kind of cooking or baking you're going to do with the kids. When I was a preschool teacher, I actually didn't teach in a preschool after I got my degree, but I did beforehand as kind of some of our directed study and internships, and also in elementary and then high school. But when we were in the preschool, we would write things out on big sheets of paper and the kids would follow along, and they were really excited because if they're little, they're excited because it's like they're reading. When they get older, some of the things you can give them to do, they can do independently, and the kids love it when they are preparing something for a meal and they did it all themselves, and that's really exciting. You know, like we make homemade brownies and I absolutely love them and they're easy to make, but there are quite a few steps involved. And so my daughter, who makes them with her children, has gone to a box mix. And it's something that the girls can handle. Are they as good as quote unquote the homemade? No, but it's something that they can do. And they're really excited when someone comes over and they're making, you know, the brownies from this mix. So you just need to look at, you know, some of the things that you can do with the kids. You could actually make your own mix and then they can, you know, add the ingredients to it. So that's another option. There are, like I said, a lot of different things to do. The one that we make with our brownies, we melt the chocolate. And so when you're melting chocolate, you're either using a double boiler or the microwave. For those of you that do use a microwave, I know some people don't. Or you're taking hot water and melting the chocolate over the water. So that can be dangerous and can cause burning if the kids are little and kind of can't handle that. So again, something for the older kids to do. But, you know, whatever falls in that category with cooking. And so, you know, you can do things like making homemade ice cream. You can make homemade smoothies. You can do like really quick lunches like, homemade pizza. You could start with something like bagels or English muffins if you're gluten-free. Look at pita breads and stuff that is gluten-free. You can do things like popsicles with fruit juice and paper cups. You can make s'mores. So some of the things that you would do under the category of baking could also fall into crafts. And one of the things that we did that was really fun is we would get the cereals that have the holes in the middle. So whether they're Cheerios or Apple Jacks or, you know, whatever other, I'm going to stand on a limb here, but say disgusting fruit flavored cereals that are out there that my kids all love because they never had them until we started traveling with sports. And then we'd stay at some of the hotels that have breakfast already provided there for you. And my kids would try some of these, you know, what I consider the gross pure sugar cereals and absolutely love them, of course. But you can use those for necklaces that get a big piece of yarn, which is inexpensive, and you can do this ahead of time and get some glue, and you just glue the edges of the yarn to make it stiff and let it dry like a clear glue. Elmer's glue is fine, and the kids can even help you with that, and then it dries, and once it dries, it has a stiff part where the kids can thread the you know, the fruit flavored or non-sugared version or even organic cereals through that. And they can make these necklaces and it's super fun. I know people who have done it with dried fruit and then you would need like a yarn needle or something like that. I'm such a a germaphobe, that I would probably take it and put it in some boiling water and, you know, get it a little bit clean before I would let the kids, you know, thread it. But then again, they're sitting there eating the cereal as they're doing that. We did the same kind of thing at Christmas time, you know, where we string popcorn, and that's really fun. And one of the things I will tell you is I'm always into the multitasking with my kids as well. So whenever I would read to them or there would be something that I would want them to pay attention to, I would give them, you know, a container of popcorn and needle and thread to, you know, tread the popcorn or do something with their hands because that keeps them more engaged. And they would be able to listen to me better. And again, you have to know your children, their learning styles, whether that would be sensory overload for them or if that would be something that they can do. And only you as the parent knows that. So again, some really fun activities that you can do with the kids that doesn't take a lot of money. You know, we have to eat anyway. You know, more than likely you're going to buy, you know, homemade or you're going to buy ice cream or yogurt or something like that that you can make homemade. And so it's a fun activity to do with the kids, but also is going to take more time on your part as parent unless you have the older and younger children that may help you with some of that. And so, you know, again, just a fun thing you can do. All right, well, let's go to nature. Nature's always a fun topic, and there are so many things you can do depending on where you live. I shared this many times when I was speaking at homeschool conferences, but one of the things that we did when I planned out my year, which happened during the summer, and I figured out what we were going to be studying, like in the next year, sometimes even 2 years, I'd have an idea of what I wanted to study with the kids. And we did a lot of unit studies. So this was very important to have a plan of what we were going to learn. And because we live in Florida, if we were studying geology, there isn't a lot of rocks, different types of rocks here that we could study. So other than going to buy a collection, you know, which I did a little bit of that, or even going to the nature center and buying different types of rocks for the kids to study, that was one of the trips that we took with the children is we went to Georgia, which isn't too far out of Florida, and we went on a rock hunting expedition. So that was always a fun thing to do. Also, you can give your kids scavenger hunts. Again, fun activities that the kids can do. And just have them bring in a collection of things. I remember one of my fun things to do as a mom, especially with young children, was just to be able to get the mail, sit on a lawn chair in my front yard or backyard, whichever you have. We have a very long driveway, so I can sit in my front yard and not be out on the street, as it were. And I just love to be able to sit and look through the junk mail, you know, whether it was a magazine or, you know, something I was going to throw away anyway, and just look through that as the kids were playing in the yard. So I would give them a plastic bag or a paper bag, and I would just ask them to go around and collect things that we could make some kind of art project with. So they would, you know, and that's, this is kind of overlapping here, but I would have them, you know, be careful not to just go pick a flower out of the front yard. You know, although I did have a son that loved to pick flowers for me and bring them in. And so I had to train him, you know, not to pick the roses until they were ready to be picked and then to use the clippers so he's not just yanking them off the plant. So, you know, you have to work with your kids a little bit, but once you train them and they know what is expected, it's really great. And then we'd make all kinds of pictures with those and take pictures of them. Sometimes if they were really cute, I'd frame them. And eventually, of course, they were all falling apart. But like that kind of activity in itself will take a couple of hours. And do you know how much fun that is for a mom to be able to sit there and just have like that 15 minutes of peace, or, you know, and have the stuff out so that like we'd go out in the backyard after they got everything and I'd have tables in the shade and then just give them some paper and scissors and glue and let them, you know, create their own masterpieces with just stuff they collected. They like to collect shells at the beach. They like to collect, bugs that they would, you know, look at under a microscope and then release. We had a pond, so they were collecting fish. They even set up a little fish tank in the garage at one point, and they would just, you know, bring their little fish in and, you know, watch them swim around a little bit. And then by the end of the day, they were tired of that and they'd scoop them back up and take them to the pond. So that, you know, it was always something fun that was, you know, like a once a week thing, so that it wasn't every day. So it still stayed exciting for them that this was something we were going to do. And a lot of these things, as you notice, we're not leaving the house because there are so many things you can do. And when you leave, but I just wanted to give you some things that you could do at home. You know, nature studies also, again, these things seem to be crossing over to arts and crafts. But my daughter at one point got really interested in taking pictures, and she would take really great pictures. She has a couple of some really interesting bugs on leaves and things like that. And at one point, she was even considering selling her photos. And as anything that you do too much, you know, she kind of got out of that kick. But it was something that was fun for a long time for her, and she really, really enjoyed it. You can take pictures and make a digital photo album with the kids. You can help them, you know, label the photos. You can, you know, show them how to take photos close up. There are so many other options now than there were back in the day in film and development, you know, so that's great. Kayaking and canoeing, again, stuff you can do, you know, elsewhere if you don't happen to have a pond like we do. We actually ended up having to take the canoe out of our pond because the little grandkids were able to hop in and go canoeing. And so, you know, so the older grandkids that could swim and could also canoe. But we were concerned about that, so we had to take it out of the pond and put it off on the side where they couldn't drag it in. But again, something that is, you know, really fun to do, builds up those muscles and is great. And then swimming, you know, our children have grown up around water, so they were swimming very early. Same with my daughter's children. We work with them really early to get them swimming. You know, water safety is really important. And so that's always a fun thing. And I know for those of you that live up north and don't have as much opportunity for that, it may be more difficult. My daughter's friends, some of them from college, have never been to a beach, which is amazing because there are beaches up there too. So, you know, some people just don't go to the beach and don't swim. And so that is, you know, an important aspect. Well, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I will be sharing with you more things that you can do with your kids this summer. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Felice Gerwitz here. And I want to share with you something that is dear to my heart, and that is saving you money. Can you use encouragement for your homeschool journey? Have you been searching for an online learning program designed to ground your family in a Christian worldview? Well, now you can at MediaAngelsMembership.com. Our affordable membership packages fit your budget and busy life. Now you can access customized membership packages for your homeschooling family from the extensive Media Angels library of books, classes, and Bible studies. You may select the ebook bundle, the creation bundle, the premium bundle, or the forever bundle. Each bundled set will save you vast amounts of money. Our packages begin at less than $10, and you can use it for the whole family. So go to MediaAngelsMembership.com for more information. That's MediaAngelsMembership.com. You'll be glad you did. Hey, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today, we're talking about summer activities for the kids. This is podcast 206, and you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. There you'll find a handout as well as the notes within the body of the post. Well, as a thank you for all of you who have been so faithfully listening, we offer a weekly email that goes out, and with that comes some free downloads. So we're working on some handouts, some printables, as well as the continued downloads that we offer for those who are our subscribers. So the way you subscribe is you go to Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and you can either look at the subscribe button there or on the front page. All right, well, let's talk about arts and crafts. One of my favorite things. In fact, I want to turn our space that we used for homeschooling, it's kind of a loft area upstairs, into an art studio, and I have yet to do that, but that is my goal. So crafts are messy, I know that, and if you're a neat Nick, then it's something you may want to do outdoors. The only thing I'm really big about doing outdoors is glitter. My kids all know that glitter is not my friend, and part of it is because it sticks to everything and you find it forever. But I love to do things with recyclables or soap. We have done more soap sculptures than I can even tell you. And then what we do with the leftover soap is you just boil it with some water. You know, make sure you have an aired out space depending on what kind of soap it is, because it can be pretty, fragranced. And if that bothers you, you want to do it in an open area or have the fan on. And then you can whip it up and use it as hand soap or even in a little bag that you can make out of mesh. And you can put the soap in. It does get kind of squishy, so you have to be careful. Or you can use the thick pieces that you've cut off and recycle those and everything. But we started using, doing stuff with soap because, for one thing, it's easy to cut. And you give the kids blunt objects. Obviously, you're not going to give them a really sharp knife to use as a soap sculpture. But one of the things you can do is you teach the kids to shave it off carefully. And you can do things, just teaching them to round off the corners to begin with, and just really small things. Whenever I would teach the children any type of art, we would just start with specific shapes. And I know a lot of people, may sign up for an art class or things like that. But again, that's going out of the home. So you can go on, different channels on the internet, such as YouTube. I know that there's a lot of different places that you can go. I know Sharon Jeffis is going to be coming on, and I think she's done an episode for me on Vintage Homeschool Moms, but she has some wonderful art projects and things that you can do within the home, and she's got art books. But Visual Mana is her .com is her website, and you can find some really great things there. But when you sculpt, it's almost like creating, something either that you've drawn or it's just some type of object. You know, you don't have to say, well, I'm going to, create this little bear or this little animal out of the soap. You can do a shape and, just start small. And then once the kids get a grasp of, how to sculpt, you'll be amazed at what they can do. You can also use sand sculpting. You can either buy the kind of sand that you can use to make different little sculptures. Here in Fort Myers, they have a huge festival every year where these artists come, and they use, specific types of spray and everything to keep the sand wet. And they make incredible art on the beach, whether it's like a huge manatee. My daughter taught the little kids to make huge turtles, and all you do is you make a big mound for the turtle's back, and then a small little head, a little tail, and it's really cool. And you know, the eye of the turtle, of course, and its little flippers on either side. So there are a lot of things that you can do. And again, starting with the shapes, basic shapes, teaching the children, you know, to look at things and lightly draw, whether it's a circle, a triangle, a square, and then looking at things and seeing objects and shapes and everything. Just super fun. Recyclable items. I love recyclable items because, yes, they take space. Yes, they can be another thing that's messy. But just recently I saved these recyclable containers that would make great sand castles. You know, they just look like a sandcastle to me, and upside down. So, you know, you can save those things. You can also use recyclables. Like we used to keep, of course, the paper towel rolls and things like that. And the kids would do all kinds of things, with tape and string. You can make rockets that the kids can use to go back and forth with taking a balloon, blowing that up, holding it, taping it on a paper towel roll, having the paper towel roll threaded through the string, having the string tied at one end and the child's at the other end. And you may need a couple of hands to do this, but then you let go of the balloon and the air propels this rocket to the other side. You have to obviously use something on one end of the paper towel roll to make a nose to it to keep it from, give it a little bit of wind resistance on one side, just close it off. And it's really a fun thing to do. And once the kids do that kind of thing, they can use straws as well with the rockets, and they can do all kinds of things that are super fun. So as you can see, science collides with nature, collides with art, and all fun things to do. And of course, you can do all kinds of artistic things with recyclables. Another fun thing, and this is something that I loved doing when I was in a class, when I went to school, one of the few memories that I remember that really I enjoyed, and that was creating a mural. And that's something that we may not get to do as much as homeschoolers. So summer is the perfect time to get that huge sheet of paper. You can get a couple of places. You can get them at the party store. They have big rolls of paper that they use to cover, you know, like if you've been at a church setting where they'll use those big rolls to cover tables and things like that. I just went to a party place to pick up some things for a church event that we were doing, and I saw the rolls, and they were a little bit, the plastic ones I think were a little bit more pricey than the other. Obviously, you don't want plastic because you want to be able to have the kids draw on it. But you could get these huge sheets of paper and get a group of friends over and just start, you know, drawing something. You can start drawing and then painting. If you can, if you have a lanai area or even a floor space where the kids can, you know, draw something out, start with pencil and things like that, and then bring it outdoors so that they can paint. If you have a fence that they can hang it on, or even a clothesline, again, you'd have to be creative and anchor the bottom and the top in some way. We have sliding glass doors here in Florida, so one of the things we did was we just put them on the sliding glass doors, taped them to the door, and had the hose to spray off any messiness that happened on the ground, or even laying a piece of that paper on the ground to catch any spills, and using paint that is washable. So that was a super fun activity that my kids loved to do, and it was something that we enjoyed. I know, where are you putting it afterwards? I know you're thinking that, but you can roll it up and take it out for parties. There's a lot of different things you can do. Also, if you want to be really frugal, you can go to the dollar store and get rolls of paper for a dollar that the kids would be able to draw on, whether it's the backside of a glossy paper or, you know, the underside of one, and it would be another fun activity for the kids to do. All right, backyard parties and festivals and sports and fun activities. So a lot of things you can do in the backyard, and whether it's a campfire or setting up a party or, you know, one of the things under baking that I didn't really talk about was eating foods from different countries. You can have parties that are themed from different countries. Of course, Mexican parties are easy to come up with, or 4th of July and things like that. But also, you know, what type of food does your family like to eat? Like, do you like to eat ribs, or do you like, you know, Mexican food for Hawaiian Luau or Seafood Festival, which we have here, you know, different types of festivals. Like, there's a Swamp Cabbage Festival that happens in the Everglades. You know, whether it's an ice cream festival that the kids can make up, you can make up your own, you know, and have ice cream with all this different toppings. I tell you what, I haven't been to the party store in a long, long time. And I was like a kid in a candy shop, literally. I did not buy anything. I was really proud of myself. But I went down a couple of aisles, and oh my gosh, they have like huge canisters of beautifully shaped candy that's all a specific color to go with the theme. So you could really have a lot of fun there with that, and have ice cream with different toppings and have it all color coordinated if you wanted. Scavenger hunt. I love these for birthday parties, and it's super easy to do. In fact, I need to probably, I'm making myself a note here, look on my computer for a scavenger hunt that I can give you a sample of what we do. But I start out with handing the birthday child, or if you're just doing it for fun, you know, whoever is the reader in the group, and have a volunteer. If you have more than one, of course, you're going to take turns. And you just have the children, you know, start with number one, which is what you're handing them. And then there is a clue that would send them to place number two, and so forth. And again, a really fun thing to do with your kids. Sports. You know, my kids played a lot of different sports in the yard before they ever just picked up a baseball bat or softball ball. And you know, my daughter didn't even play softball till she was 12. She played baseball with the younger ones, with her younger brother. And my other son didn't start playing baseball until he was 9. So it's not like we started when they were, you know, 4 years old. But they played soccer in the yard, mini golf, badminton, yard tennis, and then we, you know, roller skateboarding, things like that. And then they learned some of the new, you know, new sports, whether it was, you know, trying to skateboard or trying handball, which one of my sons just recently tried. He's on a travel team, and we stayed at this hotel that had a lot of different amenities, and they had a blast. Bowling, yes, you have to go somewhere to bowl, but you can also get those plastic containers or even make your own bowling pins. That is always a fun thing to do. You know, you can fill them with sand or some kind of weight at the bottom of it, and a very lightweight, of obviously, or it's not going to be knocked over, and then have your own activities in the home. The kids love outdoor activities, but if you take some of these ideas and you know, move them around, you're not going to bake every day, but like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different activities that you can do at different times of the month, you know, so you can pick and choose and have the things ready so that when there is that lull time, or, you know, if there is a day where, you know, it's going to rain, it might be a fun thing to do. And then just some other fun activities, water sports like slip and slide. My kids love the water balloons. A lemonade stand. I can go on for a long time about that and how much fun that is. Game night. We always had game night, and then we had movie night different times of the week when the kids were younger. We had it so that we had a day that was scheduled for that, or then you end up not doing it. This is something we are doing currently, and that's de-junking the room and having yard sales or giving it to charity. that is always a fun activity to do with your kids. I know, you know, you're probably cringing right now because your kids, some kids don't like to give away everything or anything. But if you give them a purpose for it, or even, you know, take them somewhere where they can really see the benefits of what their gift is doing. One year, a friend of mine said her children never wanted to give away anything. And so she and a couple of other families adopted a family that they gave presents to. And she said it was the best experience for her children because those little kids were so excited to get their presents, and her little kids were really impacted. And she said it was a life-changing experience. You know, you can study the night sky, learn summer constellations, you know, identify specific stars. My kids could always find the Big and Little Dipper, and they were really excited to find those stars where they could then identify these constellations. If you live in a area that's very lit, you may need to go to a park or somewhere that has less lighting. And then you can camp in the backyard. Before we got our little pop-up and went camping, which my brother introduced me to, and I never thought I would like it. But before we did that, we camped. I'm using loosely. My kids set up a tent, and my husband camped with them in the backyard. But it was really fun for them, and that was our first experience with that. And you know, and then it turned out to be a wonderful, fun activity, and we actually have a camping trip planned for this summer. So these are just some ideas, and hopefully I've given you some ideas to use as an anchor, you know, like the baking, nature, arts and crafts, backyard parties and festivals and sports, that can give you some other ideas that will jumpstart your own family activities and fun activities for the summer that will keep your kids and yourself entertained as you enjoy your time together. You know, parents, my kids are growing up, and I'm watching the years just fly by, and it has been such a blessing that I had older children, and then I could, you know, do it all over again with the three younger ones. And now my three younger ones are older ones. You know, they're not babies anymore. The three younger ones are 21, 19, and 16 right now. Mike's soon to be 17 in July. And so it goes so fast. It goes so fast. So enjoy your children, and love you guys, and appreciate you listening to Vintage Homeschool Moms. Be sure to catch the other shows on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Take care. God bless. And again, show notes are on the podcast notes at 206 Summer Activities for Kids. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.